Okay, so I'm Pamela Cuccinell. I am now recording this conference discussion on forecasting 2011. And 2011 basically is, from my perspective, and I'm sure other many astrologers feel this way, it's a bridge year. 2010 was a tremendous butt-kicking year. I don't think many people would disagree with me on that. It was, we had so many very powerful outer planet configurations that were indicating severe and extreme change in the face of a lot of adversary and wanting to hold on to status quo. So we saw this manifested in so many ways, both in the Earth itself, with earthquakes, and then the basic vomiting of the BP oil spill, and also in things that happened across our world that were very difficult to hold in space, including, of course, the major financial and institutional shifts that we've been watching as countries struggle to maintain, well, not all countries, but many countries struggle to maintain status quo, and we watch a balance of powers start to shift from west to east in financially. But the other thing, of course, that's occurring is there's also a spiritual shift that's happening somewhat from east to west, where the mystique of the Eastern societies always being more concerned about spirituality and seeking is now starting to move much more into the West as the East becomes more concerned with practical, mundane manifestations in a financial corporate frame. So that could be a whole discussion of itself. But I'm going to focus mainly on looking at what's coming up from an astrological perspective to give you a blueprint or a frame of what you might anticipate in the coming year, and also give you an idea of how you can map out your year to maximize it. Before I launch too into it, I do want to remind you that I offer subscriptions for you to know, like, day to day, the month ahead, so you can have that at your fingertips when you're planning things out. There's also the free daily astro chatter that I do, which gives you that information the day of, but if you want it ahead of time, there's a way to do that. So definitely contact me about membership if that's of interest to you. So starting out, I timed it for today to do this discussion because tomorrow, as someone mentioned, is a solar eclipse new moon. And that's the first new moon of January, the first new moon of the new year. And it's the first eclipse of the year that's going to give us five eclipses. And that's a lot of eclipse energy. So I'll be looking at that as well and talking a little more about that. But the first thing I want to say is that 2011, and this is a little numerology, which is something else I do, but not formally, not much, but it's a 4 year. So we are coming off a 3 and entering into a 4. Now, the odd numbers are always more change-oriented, maneuverable. When we get into even numbers, then we're planting something more solid. So the 4 year is about the most solid year you can get. Not everybody looks forward to a 4 year, and yet some of you on the call might actually be numerological 4s. So 4 people are very task-oriented. They like to organize something and build something. As we're having a universal 4 year, that's indicating that very much a time for us to build that foundation, that really secure foundation. So if you're coming off the year 2010 where there's been a lot of flux, a lot of things in transition, you're trying to frame something or recreate something, many people are recreating their job descriptions or looking differently about how they might make career or job look or where they might live. This is the year when you really want to organize a plan, when you want to practice self-control, really get a handle on your finances, whatever they may be. I mean, one of the things I absolutely love metaphysically is that if you want to care more about money, if you want to attract more money, you have to let your money know that you care about it. As simple as how you organize your wallet. Do you know where your ones and fives and tens and twenties are? Is everything crumpled up in a ball somewhere in your purse? And those are things to look at about how do you make money think you care about it? Do you take care of it? Do you organize it? Do you give it a safe place to be? So however little money you have or however much money you have, it's important to look at it in a way of being responsible to it and having relationship with it and seeing it as what it is a neutral form of exchange. That's exactly what it is. So this is the 4-year, and you can't get anything that's going to stand securely unless you really line it up and make sure it's square. So the foundation is level and the beams that you're putting up are exactly vertical. So those little details are really important in 2011. And this, of course, follows through with any construction or building or re-rigging that's going on in the Delta, all that stuff. It has to be absolutely plumb and square. This is a 4-year. Everything is about accountability. Okay, so the things that you're looking at when you go about this 2011 thing is you look at, well, okay, is this project something I'm only going to be involved with for a month or a week? Or is this something I'm really working on for 10 years? So all those things are important to also prioritize and think in terms of how you're making this all happen so that it all works in a way that doesn't feel limiting to you, because 2011 can feel very limiting for some people, especially people who prefer to fly more by the seat of their pants and not get into this whole organizational planning thing. But you have to, in some way, court or align yourself with what's happening energetically. Otherwise, things are not going to pan out the way you would like them to. So if you are somebody who crumples up those dollars and sticks them in your purse and thinks it's so much fun when you find this money 2 months from the fact that you had pocketed it there, that's okay as long as you're doing something like balancing your checkbook or doing something to honor the reality that this is a 4-year and accountability is king. So today is the day before the new moon. And I am telling you all of this at this point in time because the day before the new moon, when we do this solar eclipse in Capricorn, Capricorn, again, loves that number 4 because Capricorns are the ones who are good at planning and doing things in the long haul. They don't value something unless they really worked hard to get it. So energetically, this is a perfect time for you to work on what I wrote the other day is just composting. I don't know, I know the term is let go, you know, let go, let God, and I think that there's a lot to be said for that, but there's also a lot to be said for if you're not going to let it go, if it's going to stay in your memory camp somewhere, if it's going to be part of your past, if it's part of your cellular system, part of your DNA, then it's time to compost it. If you're not going to let it go, compost it. How can you use that, whatever that is, whatever that grievance may be, whatever that failure may be, whatever that lesson may be, how can you use it to take you forward instead of holding you back? And that's where we are at this point in time, and we really have a lot of energy behind us to really get in a place where it's absolutely a solid foundation that you spring from, don't get bogged down into. So, let's see. The other thing that just has been, we're right in the end of, is Jupiter. Jupiter, the biggest planet in our solar system, our protector, whose gravitational belt sucks in all those asteroids that otherwise would leave us devastated as a planet. Jupiter is our great benefic. And Jupiter has, as of tomorrow, it will be the last time that it's totally in line with Uranus in the sign of Pisces. So Jupiter, the planet that has to do with expansion and good fortune, with Uranus, the planet that has to do with revolution and change in the sign of Pisces. This has been a year that's been a lot about, for many people, processing and getting in touch with spirituality in a way they haven't before. Every single one of you may know someone who has turned more inward than they had in the past, maybe for the first time. And this is, just a minute, I just need some water, and if people could press the *6, that'll help with the mute. So the spirituality piece, as we're entering into this new moon, I consider this very sacred time right now. This is a wonderful window to focus on what it is you want to bring in, not just in this new year, but in this new world. And as we're creating this new world, the more conscious, and there are more and more people who are waking up and becoming more conscious and more focused on this. Whatever it may be that you want to bring in and make happen, it can be personal. Somebody's doing some sort of calculator thing or something. I'm gonna have to mute. Everybody's muted, and when I open it up to question and answer, I will tell you how to do that. Okay. So I won't have that little distressing sound, whatever that was. Because I am a highly susceptible person. But I say that with a laugh, but a lot of people, especially as Jupiter's been in Pisces, a lot of people who are water signs or earth signs may have noticed that they've really been increasing their intuitive ability, because this has been a period, as it's been in this process. And interesting, Jupiter is the planet that stays in a sign about a year. So every 12 years, it returns to Aries. So this past year, interestingly enough, in 2010, it was in Pisces part of the year. And then for a few months, it was in Aries. Now, Pisces and Aries are about as different as signs can be. Often the signs that are right next to one another are incredibly disparate, but Pisces is the end of the zodiac, and Aries is the beginning. So Pisces is about completion, about finishing up, about your head way in the stratosphere. Aries is about bringing it down, moving with fire, beginning something new, wants what it can see and touch, very, very different energetically. So it was in Aries from June 7th to September 9th. And fire and air people may have felt more on at that point in time over the summer. And then, oh man, it's like everything got dampened again. And their energy level just went down. Whereas people who are earth and water signs may have been feeling a lot more of a surge of really wanting to expect growth in the material and spiritual. So this kind of sidestep thing that's been going on with the Pisces and Aries, it's Jupiter once again returns to Aries. It blasts back in January 22nd. And so once that happens, where it stays until June 4th, then we will see a lot of very, very fast movement. But to finish back with where we are now, tomorrow, with the solar eclipse, as I said, it's a great time to discard. Think about things in terms of what you're really planning. The difference between 2011 and 2010, one of the main differences from an astrological perspective, is we have moved beyond that very critical path of when Pluto was in early degrees Capricorn, which it still is, but it's a slow-moving heavenly body. Saturn was also in early degrees Capricorn. So Pluto, which is about power, and Saturn, which is about status quo and foundations and fear, these two forces working somewhat against one another, but also it was a strong friction component, that set up a period of very profound change. The other thing that happened was Uranus, change and revolution, briefly stepped into Aries, and that just, everything was kind of knocking around, exploding, and the Earth was literally moving. So, people who will still be feeling these kinds of shifts. I just need some water. I'll be right back. So Pluto is still in early degrees Capricorn. So Capricorns, Libras, Aries, Cancer. These cardinal sign people, whether it's your sun sign or your moon sign, or perhaps your rising sign, these are the people who are feeling these shifts most acutely. Saturn now is kind of in the middle of Libra. So it is still very much about integrity and relationships. So it's that theme again. It's kind of tightening the screws on really wanting not only your foundations tight, but your relationships tight. And people who cannot work together cannot work together at this point in time. They can't. It's not going to happen. So it doesn't mean that we're necessarily free from these earth phenomena that hit us so much last year with earthquakes, floods, oil spills. But the one-two punch, the sense that it's just incessant, should alleviate this fear. It should not be as intense as it had been. We still have Chiron in Pisces, which when that first happened, that's when the BP oil spill happened, Pisces being the sign connected with the sea, and Chiron, the symbol of the wounded healer. Nothing heals us or feeds us or sustains us as much as our ocean as a planet. We are the blue planet. We rely heavily on this water source. But our oceans are severely wounded. We have compromised them to a point where our sustainability is actually in question. And we see this in the big pictures, in the big dialogues that go on in the sky when we look at what's going on with Ceres, the goddess of the harvest, and Neptune, the god of the sea. And these big pictures create stories that an astrologer looks at and says, okay, well, we need to kind of create some sort of dialogue here to make this work in a way that's going to save us as a group of, where's my brain? as a species, as humans. And what I find so hopeful as I look at 2011 is it's this bridge period where there's a lot of inspiration, because eclipses are always about inspiration. It's very volatile. So with the eclipse tomorrow, you don't necessarily want to start something new tomorrow. But the week that follows is fabulous. Really good time to start putting things out. The other thing that's really important to mention is that there's going to be a real high of optimism through January into about mid-February. So definitely ride on it if you're launching anything or starting anything or looking to, but do it judiciously. Again, it's so important that you have a solid foundation. This is not a year for wild speculation at all. This is a year to do things that you, tasks that you know you can meet, achievable goals, and it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a dream and a sense of optimism, because absolutely there's a lot of optimism and inspiration spreading through this year. But it can't be pie in the sky. It has to have an accountability factor to it. So, all right. Tomorrow's eclipse is stuff. It's at 13 degrees Capricorn, which is in line with the fixed star Estella. And this is considered a favorable omen. Bodes very well for a new enterprise. Again, I would start it the following day or any time the end of the week. All very good, including into next week. And it's very well favored for getting your foundation built. It's a good time for the U.S. horoscope. U.S. horoscope is 13 degrees Cancer, which is directly, this eclipse is hitting it exactly. I would love to think that the new Congress coming in is working with wise diplomacy and really wanting to work together in a bipartisan way and reach out to foreign relations, because there's a lot of optimism and buoyancy to sustain this. It doesn't last, but if it can be initiated and begun with promise, it has much more ability to ride through than if it begins with, like, immediately clamping down and sour notes. that is not the way to enter into 2011. Once we get to the end of February, that's when we'll start to see more changes in policy and more stops getting put in. So the next 6 weeks are really good times for you to make the phone calls you need to make, make the overtures you need to make, and move in that way. The full moon that occurs after this new moon is at the critical degree of 29 Capricorn. What we see in this year again is a lot of like moving into the next sign, very dramatic moves into the next sign. Jupiter moves from Pisces firmly into Aries. Uranus finally moves into Aries for good. Neptune actually will also move into its next sign. So there's a lot of this kind of moving into, like finishing up and moving into something new, new beginning. What happens is you're getting that completion energy, which is essential to compost, put to rest, be conscious of what you're doing with it. So it's not so much just releasing it, but looking at how did it serve you and what did it teach you so that you can utilize it. It's not just for naught. It didn't happen for no reason, whatever it may be. And this is all a piece of the spiritual aspect of this year. It's a spiritual year, but it's a practical year. It's the spirituality of the practical. That's the four year. So the full moon, as I said, happens on January 19th, and it moves out of the sign of Capricorn, and it's the first of three full moons, all of which are at N degrees of the sign. February 18th, it'll be in Aquarius, and March 19th, it'll be in Pisces. So this is, again, it's about closing doors so you can open new ones. So as Uranus is finishing its last move in Pisces, which will happen through March 11th, you may be finishing or observing or facilitating people going through sudden breakthroughs in spiritual awareness, healing, senses of how they can help humanity. In a personal level, this may be something that you're getting revelations about in order to move through it and become free of it. Those of you who have placements in late degree of Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, or Pisces may be feeling very much this sense of needing to change direction or finishing things up so that you can begin something new. Candlemas Groundhog Day happens to fall on in the Aquarian New Moon. I just thought that was funny because Aquarius is all about the unexpected, so we'll see what the groundhog does. But it also, the next day is when the Chinese Year of the Rabbit begins. Now, I'm not a Chinese astrologer, but I always look to see what year it is, what animal or energy is coming in. so you might want to research and see what rabbit means for you, but it is a, it invites a lot, again, a lot of industry. There's an energy around rabbit that is product-based. Then just for pure beauty, be aware that February 18th, the full moon in Leo is supposed to be the largest moon of the year. So if it's a nice night and you can be outside, it's probably going to be spectacular. The end of February, we have a passage of two planetary energies that, again, have a lot to do with what's going on financially. And this is a, as I said earlier, the end of February is when you may notice a tightening of screws and more of a, more questions that come into account with how people are lending or what they're investing in. So accountability is key, yes. Do what you need to do before that point in time because people will feel there is less to spread around when we get there. Now, Uranus enters Aries to stay for a while as of March 11th, 2011. And I think I mentioned this already. It was briefly in Aries in 2010 from May 27th to August 13th. And, no, I was talking about Jupiter. But Uranus was in Aries also. And at that point in time, you might have felt more of a sense of possibilities, depending on your sign, especially fire and air sign people. And so when it returns on March 11th, this also can create upset, because it'll be at 0 degrees Aries, which is on the world axis, and Aries is indicative of yes, new beginnings. It can be volatile. If you know an Aries or you are an Aries, they are people who act with passion. That's their motivator, their drive. So when the planet of change and revolution enters Aries, there can be unexpected blow-ups. It doesn't have to be war, but it does have a lot of volatility around it. So you want to be aware of that and how you relate to people and decisions you make based on using that kind of combustion in a way that's positive and not negative. Also in March, on the 28th actually, there is a big picture that occurs. It's the last opposition of Jupiter and Saturn. Now, the Jupiter-Saturn orbits and how they relate to one another are, yeah, I would say this, they are probably the most important planets that people who are into financial astrology observe. Because Jupiter is about expansion, speculation, limitless wealth. Saturn is about restriction, fear, bear market. So it's the opposite markets, the bear and the bull. And so the cycle, the 20-year cycle, is something that is actually clocked and looked at, and it mirrors what actually happens in the economy. Duh. I mean, in the same way that waves can be clocked by the movement of the moon, the Jupiter-Saturn cycle shows this, the cycle that actually occurs in financial markets. Now, you have to do many more things to calculate it to the nth degree, but basically, when Jupiter and Saturn are in opposition, so 180 degrees from one another from Earth's perspective, it's not usually a great time for the economy because there's no give and take. There's just a tug of war going on. So there were two passes of it in 2010, and in late March of this year, it completes that piece of the cycle. Still doing other stuff, but that particular very tug of war period starts to free up. So it should not have the same kind of impact and repercussions that we were witnessing in 2010 with financial volatility. So when Uranus was last in Aries in 1927 to 1935, there was tremendous breakthroughs in technology. Movies became talkies, plexiglass was developed, flash photography. Amelia Earhart and Lindbergh went across the Atlantic. Gandhi led the civil disobedience movement. FDR orchestrated the New Deal and Social Security because of the stock market crash. The other mirror that is similar to what's going on now was the planet Pluto was discovered in 1930. And at that point in time, from the late 20s to the early 30s, there were 5 90-degree configurations between Uranus and Pluto. So this is the planet of change in a tug of war with a planet of power. And as we know, at that point in time, scientists split the atom, Hitler rose to power, and it laid the seeds for the greatest world war. So this year, 2011, we are beginning a period when Pluto and Uranus will be setting up to square one another, that 90-degree angle again, only this time it'll be 7 times, not the 5 times of that point in time. So this is one of the things that makes people panic. But you panic if you think nobody's learned anything. And it's true, there are people who haven't learned anything. It's incredible. And history will repeat itself if we are not paying attention to lessons learned. As I said, as I've kind of been repeating as a mantra, can't just let go of something and pretend it never happened. You have to look at it, see what has been learned from it, compost it, and create something new of it. And that's where we are now. We're at this threshold, this period, this opportunity, this blessing, where we can take that kind of power and change and create something magnificent, only if we really believe it's possible. And every individual, every single individual has to make that kind of power creation happen. One of the places I see this as being an opportunity is, well, partly what we're doing now, but also just the reality of internet connections, of how people can get together and do prayer work at a designated time all together. It doesn't mean that you can't service and do other things that are actually physical, but it also means that as long as you can control your thoughts and what you're believing is possible, then you are so much more an instrument of positive than negative change. So instead of thinking, oh my God, these configurations in the sky, it's all like the late 20s into early 30s again. It's happening again. This is the depression. This is the beginning of the end. Instead of buying into that, think of the possibilities of change. Think about the possibilities of change if instead of gathering the country based on fear, alienation, a productivity that did not lead to humanity, if someone was able to construct that kind of world instead of the one that Hitler's constructed, he could have created a change. Well, he couldn't have created a change, but another individual could have. Well, Gandhi. Gandhi's a good example. He created changes in India at the same point in time, which were marvelous, absolutely wonderful changes. So you decide what you do with it. You decide where you focus your energy. You decide who's the winner, who's the leader, who's the person you get behind. You have to make a decision, though, because complacency, putting your head in the sand about it, that's not a for you. You have to take responsibility. You are part of this dream. Okay, so Neptune. Neptune transits into Pisces briefly from April 4th to August 4th after it's been in Aquarius for 15 years. Now, Neptune is the planet that is aligned with Pisces. So when it's in there, heightened creativity, Lord only knows, we can just channel and connect and teleport and all these wonderful meditations can occur with this kind of energy. It may be subtle initially, but the ability to really make a meaningful shift seems timely. Seems as though it definitely has the opportunity to occur. Now, the other thing I want to mention is that Neptune's birthday is July 12, 2011. Now, this is just a wacky, astronomers will pay attention to this. Astrologers are looking at it, even though I'm not exactly sure what it means. But what it means, astronomically, is that a complete orbit around the sun for Neptune is about 165 Earth years. So, since it was discovered on September 23rd, 1846, July 12th, 2011, will be its first year of birth since we became aware of it. Now, this seems to symbolize, from my perspective, that the parts of ourselves that connect in that beautiful cosmic soup, we have the opportunity to deepen our awareness of the unconscious and how we can utilize it. Most of the time, we're asleep. We're not paying attention to what's going on in our unconscious. And as a result, as we know from law of attraction, we're not bringing in the things we really want to attract because we're unconscious. We're not paying attention to all the thoughts that are telling us, oh, I'll never get a parking place here, or all those other negative things we're thinking. So, my thought with all this Neptunian information that's softening this bridge year into 2012, you can speculate that we're getting into a deeper octave of spiritual communication, that our transcendence through music, through chanting, through sound waves that we aren't even consciously hear, is going to increase, especially for people probably who have strong water signs, Pisces, Cancer, Scorpios, strong Neptune. All these things can open up to this. Alright, there's a few other things that occur. I want to make sure I have time for questions, so I'm going to hit some more highlights. There are two eclipses in June. There's one on June 1st, and there's one on June 15th. So these eclipses, again, the nice thing about these eclipses that spread through 2011 is, even though I say that eclipses by their nature have volatility, because what they do is they open a door, they give us a little window of something to see. So there's a doorway, a portal that is open to us. But whether you act on it or not usually has a lot to do with if the eclipse is actually touching a certain part of who you are. The June 1st eclipse is at 11 degrees Gemini. The June 15th is at 24 Sagittarius. Both eclipses are well aspected in ways that I would call auspicious. So it's not like there's a lot of dark or difficult energy going on. So I would see June as being a time when you can poise yourself well for more opportunities for moving forward, especially if there are things you want to initiate that have to do with communication, education. Now, Jupiter finally enters Taurus on June 5th, where it stays to the end of the year. And once this occurs, when it moves out of Aries into Taurus, that's the time when you make practical steps to make your dreams come true. Now, as I've said, this is a four-year. We're getting pretty practical anyway. But when once we get into June with that eclipse energy and then Jupiter moving into Taurus, perfect time for you to put your money down or put those decisions down where you feel you really want to invest. For some people, this is going to be about going back to school or getting some kind of education under their belt. For other people, it could be a wonderful opportunity or time to, if you're thinking of doing anything that helps or works with the environment, once Jupiter goes into Taurus, there's going to be a lot more movement towards the money freeing up to invest in it. So you'll see more government or opportunities coming in where people say, yes, you know, let's do that, or let's put our money there. July 1st has another solar eclipse. This one's at 9 degrees Cancer. And this is a highly creative eclipse. And when I say that, I just mean that it triggers creative energy. I would say if you're, I'd have to look at other things about a person's horoscope, but just on that alone, I would say that's a very active time for pregnancy. So if it's not something you want to have happen, do your best not to make it happen. But if it is, it's an auspicious time for giving birth to a new idea, planting seeds, making something grow. So it's, we've got a Jupiter trine Pluto that month too. So it's a great time for big hopes, big business, a need for unity and truth and global. There'll probably be people setting up all kinds of little meditation things in July for some kind of, whatever they'll call it, convergence or awakening to 2012. It looks like a very good month for that kind of activity. Late July could be very emotionally intense, so just keep in mind it's a lot of volatility, which we see this throughout the years, that it's important to make sure you know where that engine is, where you want to drive it, where you want it to go, so that anger or impulses don't come out in an inappropriate way. This is especially true for, at this point in time, this would be especially true for cardinal signs, Capricorn, Cancer, Libra, and Aries, just because of what I'm looking at with a Mars-Pluto configuration and what's in the sky at that point in time. And although Aries is not usually a stranger to blowing up and moving through something, for a Capricorn it may be very unsettling. So just be aware that this is just something that is that you want to have a not necessarily a control on, but an awareness of what it is, where your passion actually is. Because if you're blindsided about where your passion is, that's when it bites you. And yes, and then when we get into September, that's when we get more into this like alignment of what I was talking about earlier with the Uranus coming to Pluto. And so it's very important when you get into the fall that you think in terms of being an active agent or warrior for change, not being someone who is asleep at the wheel, because that just will serve no one as we go through the next couple of years, including yourself. And the fall, actually, when we get into October, a lot of optimism and calculated speculation, heightened communication really increases. I would almost imagine there's like, we'll see this technological shift where we're seeing so much of it now, but that by the time we get into fall of 2011, it'll be like it's happening telepathically as well as electronically. And so important that the communication between nations is increased and prioritized. December 10th is the last eclipse of the year. It's at 18 Gemini. And I haven't really talked about the Sabian symbols, this particular discussion, but the Sabian symbols were channeled. There's one for every degree, for the 360 degrees of the different signs. And the one for December 10th at 18 Gemini is two Chinese men talk Chinese. And I absolutely love that picture because it could be two men of any country talking to one another in their language. It's about speaking the same language, feeling identified with from the same place. And if you take that globally, you could say two humans speak. And that's what I see as being the thrust of this year, is communicating more deeply, listening more deeply, especially with that deepening in the octave of the Neptune shift, as we really hear sound and words and communicate in ways that are much more profound than we have done up until this point in time. So just finishing up the Mercury retrogrades, which I know people like to know, March 30th to April 22nd, August 2nd to August 25th, and November 23rd to December 12th. So now, if someone would like to ask me a question about anything that I talked about or something I did not talk about, all you have to do is, let me see, I think you just press star 6. I have this thing. Any questions? Well, maybe I'll unmute everybody. All right, so I guess we're done, unless someone has a question. All right, well, thank you all for joining, and I will do a record on this and send it out to any interested parties. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year.